Welcome to Kosher Tidbits. This edition is entitled, Are You Fluent in Kosher? Has anyone ever wondered where the origin of the word kosher comes from? Since all of Jewish laws derive from the Torah or scriptures, it stands to reason that the word kosher, which is an integral part of Jewish law, would appear in the Torah. Indeed, we do find the word kosher in the Torah, but it is not written where one would think it should be written. One would think that the word kosher should appear where the laws of kosher are outlined in the Torah. Upon examination, there are two main sources in the Torah for the laws of kosher. First, in chapter 11 of Vayikra, or the book of Leviticus, and second, in chapter 14 of Devarim, or the book of Deuteronomy. However, although these main sections discuss in detail the laws of kosher, the word kosher itself is nowhere to be found among these portions. Furthermore, there are several smaller sections in the Torah that discuss other aspects of the laws of kosher, and sure enough, these two make no mention of the word kosher. So then, where is the word kosher written in the Torah? The answer is that there is only one reference to the word kosher in all of the Torah. And I will not keep you in suspense any longer and will tell you where this reference is made. It's made in Megillas Esther, or the Book of Esther, which is read during the holiday of Purim. Now you're thinking, it all makes sense. Of course. On Purim, we need special kosher laws on how to make Hamantaschen. After all, how can there be Purim without Hamantaschen? However, I'm sorry to say that much to the chagrin of us Hamantaschen lovers, the Book of Esther has no specific laws and guidelines for eating or preparing Hamantaschen, and the word kosher that is found in the Book of Esther does not address at all the matter of Hamantaschen. On the contrary, the context of the word kosher that is found in the Book of Esther has nothing whatsoever to do with food and kosher dietary law, let alone Hamantaschen. And so I present to you the reference for the word kosher that is found in the Book of Esther. Vatomer im al ha-melech tov, v'im matzasi chein lifanav, v'chasher ha-davar lifnei ha-melech, v'tovo ani be'enav. And Esther said to King Ahasuerus, if it is good to the king, and if I have found favor before him, and the matter is kosher before the king, and I am good in his eyes. The meaning of this one-time reference in all of the Torah to the word kosher is to be right or proper, as it is used in conjunction with expressions found favor and good. But what is exactly the matter that Queen Esther is trying to make kosher or proper before the king? We must read on to find this out, as the end of this verse concludes with the following petition to King Ahasuerus from Queen Esther. Yikasev lohashives hasifarim, machashives haman ben hamedasa ha'agogi, asher kosav le'abedes hayuhudim, asher b'chol medinos hamelech. Let it be written to rescind the letters devised by Haman the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews that are in all the king's provinces. And so there we have it, the word kosher, as it is found, the one solitary time in the Torah, in the context of Queen Esther beseeching the king of Persia Ahasuerus, that it should be kosher or proper in his eyes for the evil decree of the wicked Haman to wipe out the Jewish people from the face of the earth, that this dastardly plan be made null and void. My curiosity has always been piqued by this sole reference in all of the Torah to the word kosher. Why, in fact, is the word found in the context of overturning an evil decree? I have often wondered to myself that surely, as each word and letter of the Torah is so carefully measured and weighed, There must be a deeper lesson to learn from the context in which the only appearance of the word kosher is found in all of the Torah. I have also delved into commentaries for an explanation, but as of this date, I have found not one that addresses this question. However, upon reflecting over this apparent paradox, it occurred to me that the Book of Esther and the matter of abolishing the wicked Haman's decree is indeed the most perfect place for the word kosher to appear. Let me explain what I mean. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis 12a, tells us that the Jews deserve to have this evil decree directed at them because there are those among us who nehenu misa'udaso shel oso rasha, enjoyed eating from the food that was served at Achashverosh's non-kosher feast. So you see, it was the eating of not kosher food that got us into this trouble to begin with. What then was the way out of this terrible fate? It is not enough just to make a resolution to only eat kosher food. No, that's not all that kosher teaches us. Kosher teaches us much, much more, as Queen Esther wisely phrases her petition to King Achashverosh. She says, "If it is good to the king, and if I have found favor before him, and the matter is kosher before the king." What profound words, so eloquently expressed. The immortal words, "The matter is kosher before the king." As Jews, we must set an example for all peoples and nations on what is right and what is proper. It is not enough just to refrain from not kosher food and eat only kosher. We must do more than that. We must be committed to our time-honored values and traditions and laws that were given to us by the King of Kings, the Almighty God Himself, as He has set forth for us in the Torah. So what is the deeper meaning of the word kosher? It is to do all that is right and proper in God's eyes by showing our commitment to His Torah. In doing so, we become a model to the world, if you will, its moral compass, a people that all peoples aspire to emulate. And in return for this abiding faith, God will shower upon us His endless blessings. So now that you understand the real, authentic meaning of the word kosher, are you fluent in kosher? Since we've seen that kosher is truly a language unto itself, let's take out the kosher dictionary in order to familiarize ourselves with this unique way of communicating. First of all, consumers should know that there is one word in Webster's dictionary that is the antithesis of kosher and therefore is not included in the kosher dictionary. This word is assume. In kosher, we never assume or take anything for granted. Consumers must always remain vigilant to check for the proper kosher symbol on the packaging of products. Never assume that the kosher symbol is there today because it was there yesterday. Train yourself to always look for the kosher symbol, and if it can't be found, call up the kosher certifying agency of the product in question and ask them why the kosher symbol is missing. There are also words in the kosher dictionary that have very different meanings than the way the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, define them. This is so, notwithstanding the fact that these words are not just homonyms that are spelled and sound alike but have different meanings, but at times the meanings of these same exact words can be completely opposite of one another. A classic case in point is the term non-dairy. Consumers may have been wondering how it is possible for so-called non-dairy creamers to be labeled with an OUD or kosher dairy. The answer is that the term non-dairy in the FDA dictionary is defined very differently in the kosher dictionary. The FDA defines non-dairy as anything that does not contain milk. Kosher, however, defines non-dairy as anything that does not contain milk or any milk derivatives. Many so-called non-dairy creamers do not contain any milk, but do contain such milk derivatives or milk proteins as whey, casein, or sodium caseinate. Since they don't have any milk, they meet the FDA definition of non-dairy and can be classified as such. However, according to the Kosher Dictionary definition, these so-called non-dairy creamers are really dairy since they contain milk proteins. Consumers should then be on the lookout for non-dairy creamers that are considered dairy by the kosher definition to make sure that these are marked with the D or dairy designation adjacent to the kosher symbol. Also, consumers should bear in mind that these dairy non-dairy creamers are not to be used for coffee or the like after a meat meal. And what about the new FDA regulation as of January 1st of this year, making it mandatory for manufacturers to make a statement on their packaging for even non-dairy products that they were produced in a factory where dairy products are made, if in fact that is the case? This statement may read as follows: made in a facility or on equipment that also manufactures milk or dairy products. However, these same products whose packaging makes these very statements are approved kosher parv by the kosher certifying agency. How is it possible that a product that is made in a facility or even on equipment that manufactures dairy be certified as parv? Once again, a look into the kosher dictionary and into its definition of parv will shed light on this irony. A product is considered kosher parv as long as all its ingredients are parv and it was made on parv equipment. It is well known that there are people who suffer from very serious allergies and are affected in the most sensitive way. This includes someone who is lactose intolerant and must refrain from consuming any and all products that are made in a factory that have dairy. Equipment that was used to make dairy and kosherized or purged can also adversely affect people who have allergies. Therefore, kosherization in the FDA sense does not transform dairy equipment into parv. As far as kosher is concerned, however, the product is 100% parv since it meets the requirements of having only parv ingredients and was made on parv equipment. This is because, in the kosher dictionary sense, dairy equipment can be converted for parv use if a proper kosherization or purging of the equipment in question is done. So consumers who have no dairy allergies should feel confident of a product bearing a plain OU, that it meets the highest standards of kosher parv, even when packaging states that it may be made in a factory or on equipment that was used to make dairy. So we have learned today that kosher has its own unique vocabulary. We've learned that the kosher dictionary has no word assume. We've also learned that kosher dairy may be the FDA's non-dairy, and that kosher parv may be the FDA's dairy. But above all else, we've learned about the most exalted meaning of the word kosher. Kosher represents the essence of the Jewish people. Even more so, kosher is the Jewish people's manifest destiny, or simply put, it is what we are all about. And that is to do what is right and proper before the King of Kings, God Almighty. Let us all aspire to exemplify this noble ideal and higher meaning of the word kosher. And in so doing, we and all mankind will merit to be worthy beneficiaries of the infinite blessings that God Almighty has in store for those who do what is right and proper before Him. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kosher Tidbits, and please remember, when it comes to the highest quality of kosher, always check the package for the world's premier kosher symbol, OU.